Today we're going to be looking at the women at the tomb and the different women who were there when Jesus rose from the grave. This is a very loving and courageous group of women. They were the first to hear the message of the resurrection and the first to tell this wonderful message. But who are these women? Well, there were at least five of them, but it gets confusing when you try to fit the different Gospels together. And what adds to the confusion is the fact that at Jesus' death, his burial, and the resurrection, there are four different Marys mentioned. Mary was a very, very common name at that time. Probably the most popular woman's name of all. But let's consider who the women at the tomb were. Well, the wee table here, looking at what the four Gospels says. Matthew tells us there's Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and then there was the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Mark tells us there was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the younger and of Joseph, or Joseph, and there was Salome. Luke tells us there was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Joanna, and other women with them also. John just mentions Mary Magdalene. Now, it shouldn't in any way perturb us that there are different records here. If you went and maybe heard that there was an accident down the road in a huckle, and you spoke to three different people who saw it, they might tell you slightly different things about it. And indeed, if you went home, if maybe four people went home and told the same person who was at church today, you'd get loads of different names. And what indeed the different names does tell us is that it really did happen, they were there. But there seems to be four women who were at the tomb who were named. There were at least five, but only four were named. There were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, Salome, who was also the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, and this lady called Joanna. Who were the other women that aren't mentioned? There are two possibilities. There could have been Mary, the mother of Jesus, but it's unlikely that she was present and wasn't named. And there's another Mary called the wife of Clopas. She's mentioned in some of the Gospels as being the sister of Mary, but I think that's unlikely. Mary having a sister called Mary is unlikely. I think she was actually her sister-in-law. I think that Joseph's brother was Clopas, and this Mary was his wife. So a sister-in-law of Mary, the mother of Jesus, and an aunt of Jesus. So, but there are four that we are told they were there. So let's go and look at these women in turn. And these women, I think we learn so much from them about how we should respond to Jesus. First of all, we have Mary Magdalene, the delivered servant, the most famous probably of the four. This Mary probably was the most important one at the resurrection. She's the only one who's named in all four gospel accounts. Mary Magdalene. Mary came from Magdala. That's what the Magdalene means, which was a major city and port beside the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee in the north, Capernaum, where Jesus did most of his ministry, Magdala was in that region. 30 years after the time of Jesus, the historian Josephus records that Magdala had a fleet of 230 boats and a population of 40,000 people, which was a massive size of a city in those days. But sadly, it was a place with a poor reputation for morality, and possibly why Mary Magdalene, one of the reasons why she was often regarded as someone who had a very dodgy past. But there's no evidence in the Gospels that Mary Magdalene had an immoral past. I think the idea came from the fact that there was another Mary who anointed Jesus, indeed, who came from such a background. But there's no evidence that's true about Mary Magdalene at all. The one thing we do know about Mary Magdalene was that she was someone who Jesus cast seven evil spirits out of her life. She had been possessed by these spirits. She had been taken over by evil and was horribly enslaved by evil, tormented by it. And Jesus rescued her from that life. And the most important thing for all of us here today is that we are delivered from evil. Maybe I'm sure that we're not possessed by an evil spirit, But the Bible teaches us if we don't know Jesus, if we don't love Jesus, if we don't follow Jesus, that we're still in the grip of evil. We're still in the grip of the devil. And we need to be delivered from that selfish life of living for ourselves and become followers of Jesus. So the first thing to learn from Mary Magdalene is, have we been delivered from evil? We need to be delivered from evil. In response to being so rescued, Mary gave her life along with these other women to serve the needs of Jesus and the apostles as they traveled around in their ministry. In John's account, Mary, after discovering that the tomb was empty, she ran with the other women to tell the disciples, and Peter and John run to the tomb, and she goes back to the tomb again. And it appears when she came back to the tomb, she's absolutely traumatized by all that's happened. There's a sense that she's in a daze. And she meets Jesus. She doesn't know that it's Jesus. She thinks it's the gardener. But into her confusion, into her sorrowful life, came new hope as Jesus spoke to her and said, Mary. And instantly she recognized him. Jesus' words to Mary at this time brought an end to confusion. But what Jesus then says to Mary does take a wee bit of understanding. He says to her, you see on the screen, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Now, what does that mean? Don't cling to me, I have not yet ascended to my Father. I think the point that Jesus is getting across to Mary is that Mary was wanting this lovely experience of seeing Jesus physically again, being in his physical presence, and she wanted that to continue. But Jesus is making it clear to her that he has a much greater agenda, that he, in body as well as soul, would ascend into heaven to reign at the right hand of the Father. And that Mary, instead of just wanting a cozy experience to continue and something that made her feel good continue, she needed to come and focus on the truth of the resurrected and the exalted Christ. She needed to see Jesus in his glory, in the majesty of who he is. And you know, there is a danger if our Christianity is just about having a feel-good experience. And if our Christianity is built on that foundation, then it's on shaky ground, because our feelings come and go. Our Christianity shouldn't be about what we feel. It has to be based on the objective truth of Christ's death. It has to be based on the truth of his resurrection and his exaltation. It needs to be anchored in the Word of God to be strong and secure. You see a wee picture there which we've used in Christianity Explained course, faith walking on a wall. When faith looks ahead to the facts, faith is all right. But when faith looks behind to feelings, faith begins to wobble. You need to keep looking ahead. And if our Christian lives is all about feelings, it will fluctuate. It'll be up and down. What we need to do is anchor in the truth of God's word. And no matter how we feel, then we need to keep that focus. I remember a lovely lady that I knew years ago who suffered from depression. And when she was good, her faith was strong and she was vibrant. And when she was low, she doubted her salvation, so much so that once when I was on holiday, another minister, she got his number from my answer machine, called for him, and he came and he thought he had led her to Christ for the first time. But that's the way she got when she got low. Her feelings were so low, she even doubted that she was a Christian. You see, our Christianity is not about feelings. Yes, we should have feelings, and there's something wrong if we don't have feelings and emotion in our Christianity. We need to have feelings, and probably as Presbyterians, we need more feelings. But it needs to be anchored on the facts of Jesus, who died, who rose again, and ascended into heaven. So that's the message from Mary. It's not just for having a nice, cozy experience. It's easy to keep going along and being faithful when things feel good. The challenge is when things don't feel good. In our individual life or in the life of the church, to keep going on and doing the right things, keep trusting in the Lord. So Mary Magdalene, the delivered servant. And then we have, secondly, Mary, the unknown mother. This Mary is mentioned in three of the four Gospels. And she was also present at Jesus' death and burial, as well as his resurrection. She's called the mother of James and Joseph, or Joses. Mark tells us that she is the mother of James the younger, also called the minor, the little, the lesser, the son of Alphaeus. Now, why did he have such names as the younger, the less, the minor, the little, and so forth? It was to distinguish him from the more prominent disciple, who was the brother of John, the son of Zebedee. James the Greater, he's sometimes called. He was part of Jesus' inner circle, James the Greater. But not the James that this was a son of this Mary. This Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Other than being listed in the group of the 12 disciples, this James is never mentioned in the Gospels apart from being the son of this woman. And so he's not the most significant. So here we have a fairly insignificant mother of a fairly insignificant apostle. Yet, because she is someone who cared for the body of Jesus, even at his death, she is honored by being mentioned in 3 of the 4 Gospels. She was insignificant in the world's eyes, but significant in the eyes of the Lord. And here we see where true significance and honor are to be found in life, quietly serving the Lord, even without drawing attention to ourselves. You need to understand this. We have a world where people want purpose, people want honor, people want significance. It is to be found in serving. It is to be found in a relationship with Jesus. Where you stand with Jesus is the most important thing of all. Having a right relationship with him and being devoted to serve Jesus brings a life of real significance and purpose. We each have struggled with lockdown in different ways and to different extents, and some of our family situation makes it different and for us. I'm aware of that. But for the Christian, one of the things that should really encourage us, even when situations change, like in a lockdown, is that our significance doesn't change in life. Our purpose doesn't change in life. Because it's to be found not in our job, not in other things we may do. It's to be found in Jesus, in knowing him, serving him. That is why the Apostle Paul and his friend Silas, when they were in prison in Philippi and beaten at midnight, they were still singing praise to the Lord. Why? Because they knew significance in life came from knowing Jesus and serving Jesus. So Mary, the unknown mother, an insignificant mother of an insignificant apostle, but so significant in the eyes of God because she was a servant of Jesus. And then thirdly, we have Salome, the devoted mother. She appears to be the wife of Zebedee, and therefore the mother of James and John, two of the most important disciples, part of that inner circle with Jesus. Salome was present at the crucifixion, at the burial, and also here at the resurrection of Jesus. She was like the other women, a woman of great love and great courage. And men, the men had run away. These women were still so faithful. But do you remember another side to this Salome, the mother of James and John? You see here Matthew 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came up to him, that is Jesus, with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something, and he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Say that these two sons of mine are to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left in your kingdom." Salome had this view that Jesus was going to rule in his kingdom on a throne. And she thought, you know, good architecture would mean that there would be a throne on the right and a throne on the left. And she knew exactly who should sit on those thrones, her two boys, James and John. And she comes to Jesus to ask this. Here we see a very narrow-minded Salome, caught up just with her own family and not seeing the bigger picture around her. And you know, those of us who are parents, we need to be careful that we're not like this. just caught up on our own family, our own children, and not caring in a wider sense. The result of Salome's request was that the other 10 disciples heard about it and became so indignant with her two boys. And Jesus, in responding to the situation, we see here, says this: "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." And basically, Jesus is saying to James and John and saying to the mother, catch yourself on. Greatness and honor are to be found not in pushing yourself forward, not seeking honor, but is to be found in serving other people. Learn that from me. I have come not to be served, but to serve. And you need to do likewise. Salome appears to have learned that lesson. And she was serving Jesus even when it was dangerous, at his death, at his burial, and then at his resurrection. She is concerned with Christ. She's caught up with Jesus now, not just with the advancement of her two boys. Another important thing about Salome and her, this previous selfish request, is that Jesus, in front of their mother, warned James and John that they would drink the same cup that he would drink in regards to suffering. James would be the first of the apostles to be executed by King Herod. You read about it in Acts 12. John, the other son, would suffer a long banishment on the island of Patmos for his faith. I wonder what Salome thought about this happening to her boys. I'm sure her heart was broken at the suffering of her sons. But I'm sure she also realized how wonderful it was that her sons then lived a life not seeking their own glory, but lived a life willing to suffer in serving Jesus, their wonderful Savior. As the hymn puts it, she came to understand, and her boys came to understand, that the cross must come before the crown. The suffering and dying to self comes before the reward of glory. And you know, we need to learn that lesson again and again and again. The reason why we need to keep learning the lesson is our human nature goes against it. Our sinful nature goes against it. We need to realize that true greatness is in serving Jesus. And just be careful that you're not just caught up in your family, your own physical family. Be caught up in the family of Jesus. This woman came on that Easter Sunday morning to serve the body of Christ, to anoint the body of Christ. Listen, parents, care for the body of Jesus, the family of God, not just your own little home. And then fourthly, we have Joanna, this trophy of grace. She's the final woman to be mentioned by name in Luke's gospel as being at the tomb. The only other mention we have of Joanna is back in Luke chapter 8. Where we read this: "That soon afterwards he," that's Jesus, "went on through cities and villages, proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means." You remember Herod? This is the Herod who had John the Baptist put to death, having his head chopped off. The Herod who wanted Jesus to come and perform miracles in front of him at his trial, and Jesus would not even answer his questions. This wicked man, his chief steward's wife, who was used probably to a life of luxury and pleasure, and probably in a background of immorality, She is rescued from that. She was sick. She was in need. She is brought to Jesus. She became a follower of Christ, caring for his practical needs. And you know what the ironic thing is? It says these women did it out of their own pocket. Probably some of the money that her husband had got from serving Herod was used to further the ministry of Jesus. Given her background, what a trophy of grace she was. Grabbed out of that evil castle where the king ruled, grabbed from that evil life to become a follower of Jesus, walking the roads of Israel behind him, serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Her salvation by grace led to a life of service for Jesus. I wonder, has that happened to you? Have you known the grace of Jesus enter your heart, captivate your heart, cause you to see that you're a sinner that needs to be saved, needs to be rescued, needs to be born again, and has brought you to trust in Jesus as your Savior and to follow Jesus as your Lord? Listen, there's nothing more important than that. So who have we learned about today? Mary Magdalene, of evil spirits, who was delivered and was called to focus on the truth of the ascended Jesus. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, insignificant in the eyes of the world, but significant to God because of her servant spirit. Salome, who was caught up with her boys, James and John, having places on her, coming to have a sacrificial and giving spirit and serving Jesus. And Joanna, this trophy of grace, grabbed from a life of evil to have a life in serving the one true King. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your precious truth. We thank you, Father, for your word today and this testimony about these four women. And Father, we pray that this truth would indeed be true and real in our lives, that we would be like Mary Magdalene, delivered from a life of evil, a life of selfishness, to a life of serving Jesus. We'll be like the Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and Father, that insignificant maybe in the eyes of the world, but understanding that we're significant to you as we serve Jesus. And be like Salome, the mother of James and John, who turned away from a life of pushing her family and self forward to a life of sacrificial giving. And think of Joanna, rescued from a life indeed of evil, a life of sin, to come and follow the true King. Oh, Father, we pray that that would be true of us. Grant that every single person here this Easter time would know the power of the resurrected Christ working in their lives to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. For such grace we pray. Amen.